Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the Pastor's Study. Today, our Bible lesson is entitled Spiritual Motives for Giving. Spiritual Motives for Giving. And we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. So let's turn together to Ephesians 5, verse 25. The Word of God says this, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, there are many motives for giving, and not all of them are good and pure. Giving in order to be recognized is selfishly motivated and part, is it not? But the recipient doesn't mind. Universities promise recognition as an encouragement to give. Giving to politicians is often motivated by opportunities. These gifts nearly amount to a bribe. But today we're only going to preach on spiritual motives for giving, because you see, these motives are pure and right. So spiritual motives for giving, number one is love. And of course, we just read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, that husbands are instructed to love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. That's the supreme sacrifice. Jesus Christ, it's love, real love. Christ loved the church so much that he gave his own life for it. Amen. Now, look at also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse number 8. We read in the Word of God, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, so love is a spiritual motive for giving. Love is why God gave his son. Amen. Why Jesus gave himself for the church. This motive is a matter of the heart. You see, my dear listeners, when you truly love God, you'll give. Amen. You'll give. It won't be a problem because you love God. Just like God loved us, he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the supreme sacrifice to pay for all our sins, past, present, and future. Amen. So our sins could be forgiven. We could have the righteousness of Christ and someday spend time in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see then a spiritual motive for giving is love. Another one would be willingness. Willingness. Notice what the scriptures say. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, the Word of God says this, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Then notice 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Word of God says, But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 11 and 12, the Word of God has this to say, Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Willingness, you see. Willingness is a spiritual motive for giving. We see in our verses that we read that Jesus laid down his life because he was willing to lay down his life. In giving, it's a matter of the will and mind. When you have a willing mind, you will give. That's a motivation, a spiritual giving willingness to give. You want to give. Amen. There's no question. Jesus laid down his life because he was willing to lay it down. He had a willing mind to give his life for you and I. And giving, again, is a matter of the will and the mind. So another spiritual motive we've seen, love is a spiritual motive for giving. And then willingness is a spiritual motive for giving. A third motive, spiritual motive for giving is affection. Affection. Notice with me in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, the Word of God says this: lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Affection. Affection is a spiritual motive for giving. Where love is directed to a person, affection is directed to a place. You see, my dear listeners, when our affection is set on the things above, we will put our money there. This motive is a matter of allegiance and loyalty and service to God. Affection. Amen. Where we spend our money on, where we give our money to, says a lot to say about the place of your affection and my affection. And the scriptures clearly tell us where we're to lay up our treasures, where we're to give to the bank of heaven. Because the bank of earth is a place where eventually moth and rust doth corrupt it. Thieves can break in and steal your money. Amen. But it can't be touched. No one can reach it in heaven. Amen. That's where it'll do the most good. No one can steal it. No one can take it away from you. Amen. The moth can't get at it. It can't rust. Amen. It's untouchable. But you have to be careful now to think about, because I have such and such money, that I'm going to be okay and so forth and so on. You know, I'm thinking about myself, and that's where my affection, the place is on this earth. Well, you'd be sorry if you do that, because you lay up your treasures in heaven. God's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. Amen. So be careful. I know all of us are inundated day after day with financial planning and this fund and that fund and so forth and so on. And I'm not saying that we should deal foolishly with our money. But let us not get so consumed with worry that all we focus on is how much money we can save up on this earth, because it could be gone, could be Gone tomorrow, my dear friend. Amen. So your affection is another spiritual motive for giving. Amen. Let's move on to number four. How about obedience? Obedience. Now, I give you an Old Testament reference, Leviticus 27:30. It says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, I can hear people saying, well, tithing is not a New Testament Christian practice. See? And many churches argue over that, whether tithing is for the New Testament Christian. All I know is the tithe is the Lord's. And Christians who argue about tithing are generally trying to see how little they can give. See? The motive for tithing is a matter of righteousness. Amen? So, you know, some people, 10%, okay, is tithing. A tenth of what you make. Amen. And that to me is really a good starting point. As New Testament Christians, we have so many blessings that the Old Testament saints didn't have. First of all, we have the full written revelation of Almighty God from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books. Not only that, we have an indwelling, permanent indwelling Holy Spirit that the Old Testament saint didn't have. See? And then we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood atonement of Christ. They didn't have that. They didn't have eternal security like you and I have. So, giving, spiritual motive for giving is obedience. We need to give. No one can outgive God, but we need to give. If you have a problem about even giving a tenth, then the problem is, a problem is your heart, obedience to God. That's how the church is to be able to carry out its mission through the giving of its members. Amen. Not to collect money from other organizations or have an organization where a hierarchy and they send you money down and so forth and so on. Each church is to be independent. Each church is able to function and do the things they do only by the giving of their members. Amen. So pray about it. Maybe things aren't going that well in your church because you're not giving the way you should be giving. Amen. You're not giving by giving like you should be giving, you give the church the resources to reach the lost. Amen. Now, let's move on. So far, we've been looking in our lesson today on spiritual motives for giving. We've seen love is one, willingness, affection, obedience. And then number five is joy. Joy. Now, notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. We read this. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, that giving is a heart thing, is it not? As it says, every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not or of necessity. In other words, you don't really want to give. Or you're giving because you have to give. Amen. God doesn't need your money, okay? So your heart has to be right with God. You're to give cheerfully. God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, you should be happy and joyful because you have an opportunity to give to the Lord. My goodness, just think of all that he has given to you. Amen. Before you get a hard attitude is, oh, I don't want, do I really have to give? I really don't want to give. Well, before you have that attitude, think about what God has done for you. Begin, first of all, with your salvation. None of us deserve to be going to heaven. All of us deserve to be going to hell. God showed us mercy by not giving us what we deserve. But before the mercy comes is grace. We're saved by grace through faith. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn our salvation. See? Grace. Mercy is not getting something we deserve. Grace is we're getting something we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. Look it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 with me. We read this, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." So here Paul tells us that the church gave out of abundance of joy, even though they didn't have the resources to give. Amen. They gave anyways. They were liberal in their giving. They gave out of a heart of joy. Amen? A heart of joy. See, one of the most personal, beneficial motives for giving is joy. Spiritual joy accompanies spiritual giving. And this motive is a motive of true happiness. Amen. And you should have joy in your heart. Amen. Each time that you have an opportunity to give to the Lord. Amen. Be it of your material possessions, your finances, your time. Amen. Whatever. You should have. That should give you great joy. It should be, when that collection plate comes around, however your church takes the offering, that should bring you joy. You should be happy to see the collection plate, not unhappy. Amen. Because God has promised to meet your needs as you meet the needs of the church and others. Amen. He sees as you're meeting the needs of your church in others, he's promised to meet your needs. That's how it works. Amen. So joy is another spiritual motive for giving. You know, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, what we've done after we've been saved as it says in the Word of God, what sort it is. What's the motivation? What is your motivation for doing anything for Christ? If it's not spiritual, then when you get up to the judgment seat of Christ, that whole whatever you did in the flesh, amen, motivation in the flesh, meaning to be recognized, to get accolades, or whatever it is, that thing is going to be burned up, my friend. So let's move on now. So we've seen spiritual motives for giving in our lesson today: love, willingness, affection, obedience, joy, and liberality. Liberality. Now notice in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 25, the Word of God has this to say. There is that that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Well, you know, there may be some jokesters out there to think, well, if I get liberally, I'll get fat. He's not talking about physical size or weight or anything. I believe he's talking about blessings, amen, in your life, amen. And he that scattereth, in other words, he that gives to others, gives to the church. In other words, to get, you give. Amen. But if you hold back more than you need to hold back, look out. You're going to find yourself in poverty. Amen. Spiritual poverty. Financial poverty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11, the Word of God says this: but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that administers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Amen. Now, Christians who understand the blessing of giving, give liberally. Now, this motive is a matter of common sense, is it not? The more you sow, the more you reap. Amen. And again, in our verses that we see here, he said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. See that? God's going to take care of you. Amen. You don't have to worry, well, if I give, then I can't meet my needs, the needs of my family, pay my bills. Well, God says he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Amen. Again, this is all spiritual motives. It's a heart thing. What's your motivation for giving? Amen. We've seen love, willingness, affection, obedience, joy, liberality. You give liberally, you reap sparing, you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Amen. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen. Now, our last spiritual motive for giving is security. And we want to look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Luke 6, verse 38. And we read this: give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Amen. So what is God promising here? What is God promising you and I? God promises to those who give is that by the same measure you're giving, men will give to you. The Lord directs that, he tells us. So this motive for giving is a matter of wisdom. In fact, giving is the best and most secure investment in the world. Now, of course, it's counter. It's 180 degrees to what the world teaches you. Amen. Because the world will tell you that's not the most secure investment. Amen. You need to take your money and you need to invest it in this fund or over this or buy gold or do this or do that. But as the Word of God says, God's ways are not our ways. Amen. But his ways are the best ways. Amen. So, again, even though it's counter to what the world will tell you, giving is the best and most secure investment in the world. Amen. In fact, all of these spiritual motives that we've looked at today in our lesson, spiritual motives for giving, be it love, willingness, affection, obedience, joy, liberality, security, amen. These are all counter to the world's teaching. It's a very selfish world we live in today, amen. It's take care of number one, amen. And the reason the government that we have is so big is because the government is now taking place of God. Amen. Everybody goes to the government. Things that were taken care by God through individuals like you and I, now the government is providing it, so we don't need God. That's what's happening. Exactly. But my dear listeners, God hasn't changed. Amen. God has not changed one iota in any way. He remains the same. These are the spiritual motives for giving. Once again, love, willingness, affection, obedience, joy, liberality, and security. I ask you, you should check your motives for giving and make sure they align with these spiritual motives. Well, we've run out of time today on the Pastor Study. Brother Gino, thanking you for joining me today for the Pastor Study till we meet again. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.